RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Japan reinforces scholarship visit program to Japan for boarding school leaders. Transportation minister to monitor directly homecoming from Malaysia. Now the news in detail. In order to strengthen the socio-cultural relations between Indonesia and Japan, the Japanese Embassy in Indonesia organizes since 2003 a visit to Japan. The scholarship program aims at introducing the Japanese culture and socio-cultural exchange with Indonesia. In the fast-breaking party with the alumni of the program on Tuesday afternoon in his residence, the Ambassador of Japan to Indonesia, Yasuaki Tanizaki, said in the near future, the Japanese government will also invite some influential Islamic organizations in Indonesia as well as organize workshops. We invite leaders of Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah to visit Japan. We are going to hold workshops as well, which involve the alumni of the program and the Southeast Asian Islamic leaders. Ambassador Yasuaki Tanizaki stated the visit of Indonesians to Japan had increased 30% compared to last year and reached 200,000 people. The ambassador expressed hope that the Japan visit for Indonesian Islamic boarding schools could strengthen the friendship of both countries. Meanwhile, to strengthen the ties between Indonesia and Japan, the Japanese Embassy to Indonesia will hold back a scholarship program to Japan, especially for boarding schools in Indonesia. This year, the Japanese Embassy to Indonesia plans to invite the leaders of Islamic boarding schools across Indonesia to visit Japan. In the fast-breaking event, along with the Japanese scholarship alumni, on Tuesday in Jakarta, Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Yasuaki Tanizaki said, "This program can be implemented as a whole. There will be implemented a selection for the boarding school leaders who will go to Japan. The program will be implemented in October, but firstly there will be held a selection process especially for Java and its surroundings. It is aimed at taking balance with other regions for about 10 participants. The selection actually takes long enough time to make preparations completely." Furthermore, the Japanese ambassador to Indonesia, Yasuaki Tanizaki, said that besides the leaders of the boarding school, he plans to invite the youth of the Islamic Students Organization to visit Japan. According to the ambassador, the culture of drinking tea in Japan has similar meanings with Ramadan fasting, which is to soothe the human heart from their daily life. With a cultural meaning, he hopes the visit program can be effectively implemented. Minister of Transportation Ignatius Jonan is scheduled to directly monitor the readiness and implementation of homecoming for Idul Fitri holiday of Indonesians in Malaysia. A number of legal entry and exit points of the Indonesians, including the prepared vehicle safety facilities, will be monitored directly by Minister Jonan. At least 5 million Indonesians are expected to travel from Malaysia to Indonesia and vice versa, related to the Idul Fitri holidays this year. Transportation Attaché of the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Captain Muhammad Abdul said, the Minister of Transportation, Ignatius Jonan, will also monitor two exit points in Johor at the border with Singapore.
Mudik total itu 7 pelabuhan laut, 2 perbatasan darat,
the homecoming trips will be from 7 seaport to land borders and 2 airports. Usually on D-1 in KLA, the peak is on D-3 and D-2 because employers usually do not want a lot of holidays that also cost them a lot. They have long holidays after the Idul Fitri. A week after holidays, the port are empty. There's no ship. In the second week, the port began to bustle. This year, we still cannot prevent the illegal means of transportation because the migration was also illegal. Muhammad Abduh added, thousands of Indonesian workers in Malaysia are expected to travel by sea, especially in the peninsula and in the region of Nunukan in North Kalimantan. The activities in land borders in Antikong in West Kalimantan are also predicted to increase, with many buses full of Indonesian workers in and out. The Indonesian embassy will not only monitor the points of homecoming. It observes also a number of travel agencies in coordination with the Malaysian Security Agency on June. Indonesian President Joko Widodo released the Indonesian Olympic contingent to the Olympic Games Rio de Janeiro 2016 in Brazil. The release of the Indonesian contingent to Rio de Janeiro to extend the 2016 Olympic Games held at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday. President, when he briefed the athletes to give their best lackluster and put the name of Indonesia in the international world. On the occasion, President handed over the red and white flag to the Minister of Youth and Sport Affairs, Imam Nahrawi, who subsequently handed to the chairman of the Indonesian contingent to the Olympic Games Rio de Janeiro 2016, Raja Sabta Oktohari. The officials who present on the occasion were, among others, Coordinating Minister of Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani and Chief of Staff of the President Teten Mas Duki. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian government will do its best to bring down beef prices by importing the commodity and developing pedigree cattle farming at home, President Joko Widodo said. The president stated on Tuesday that the government has to continue to do it, and it has state-owned companies and private ones. 10 state companies and private firms are working on bringing down prices. Prices will surely come down. President pointed out that the beef price target is set at 80,000 rupiah per kilogram, and it has been calculated carefully by taking into account the prices in other countries. The price of beef in other countries could reach 55,000 rupiah to 60,000 rupiah per kilogram, the head of state explained. The government is now importing beef to meet the needs and prevent scarcity at home. President Joko Widodo remarked that if the government do not import, people could slaughter good heifers because of the high prices. This is a danger that should be prevented. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has stated that the draft revision of the 2016 state budget must be evaluated after the House of Representatives, DPR, and the governments decide their stance on the state budget. The Vice President stated after breaking the fast, along with the members of the Central Executive Board of the Indonesian Mosque Council and the Indonesian Red Cross, at the Vice Presidential Palace on Tuesday. The government, through the Finance Ministry, has raised the budget allocations for village funds and funds to be transferred to the regions by 15 trillion rupiah. The Vice President informed that the funds will be used to rebuild infrastructure damage in natural disasters. At a working meeting with the DPR's budget body at the Parliament Building Tuesday, the government and the DPR agreed to a new version of the budget as reflected in the draft revision of the 2016 state budget. The last item. Social Affairs Minister Kofifah Indar Parawansa visited and reviewed the state of the evacuees in Purworejo District, Central Java Province. The Social Affairs Minister visited the locations that had been buried by landslides. The minister also handed over compensation and logistical help to the evacuees. In addition, the minister and a child observer, Seto Mulyadi, organized games to comfort the children in refugee camps in Purworejo District, Central Java Province. Children also participated in a trauma healing program organized by volunteers. They were invited to sing, play, and tell a story as part of the effort to overcome trauma that they had suffered during the incident. Meanwhile, the minister sat among the children as they sang and clapped. The search and rescue team's personnel and volunteers had earlier found 8 bodies in the landslide hit locations in Purworejo District, Central Java Province. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Japan reinforces scholarship visit program to Japan for boarding school leaders. Transportation minister to monitor directly homecoming from Malaysia. That was the news.
Hello listener, welcome back to commentary for today entitled ISIS Can Be Defeated. ISIS could be beaten. Most part of Fallujah, a city in Iraq, which has been occupied by ISIS since 2 years ago, now has returned into the hands of the Iraqi army on Saturday. Iraqi flag was hoisted in downtown Fallujah. An Iraqi military official, Lieutenant General Abdul Amir Al-Shamari, said, Iraqi forces have controlled 80% of Fallujah, including the main government complex. Al-Shamari added, ISIS will be paralyzed soon and lose control over its own troops. The presence of Iraqi forces in Fallujah has been supported by airstrike of U.S.-led coalition forces. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi suggested that there were only few remaining militias in the city. Meanwhile, U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter said further efforts were still needed because there were still some followers of ISIS controlling important parts of the city. What happened in Fallujah is an important advance for the position of Iraqi forces. A week earlier, on June 10, Iraqi forces were still 3 kilometers from the city center. Commander of Iraqi elite counter-terrorism troops, Lieutenant General Abdel Wahab al-Saadi, declared the military operation to seize Fallujah went well. ISIS's strategy to head off Iraqi forces outside the city failed miserably. The success of these attacks has caused 30,000 people fled their homes and left the town until Wednesday to avoid fighting. This figure was released on Sunday, June 19, by the Norwegian Refugee Council, who built a camp near the city of Fallujah. The entry of Iraqi forces provided an opportunity for city residents who had been trapped by ISIS for 2 years to leave the city. While more than 30,000 people had been evacuated when more Iraqi forces stormed Fallujah. Unlike Fallujah in Iraq, in the province of Raqqa in Syria, ISIS managed repelling Syrian government forces. On Monday, Syria lost 40 soldiers and was forced to withdraw from Raqqa. ISIS counterattacked after Syrian troops pounded Raqqa since early June successfully advanced towards the city of Taqba. The success of Iraqi forces in Fallujah is expected to continue with other cities that are still occupied by ISIS. Although, unfortunately, it was not accompanied by Syria, which has not managed to subdue ISIS. Merging the command has made Iraqi forces more organized. That's the key strength that need to be emulated by the Syrian army and other militias in order to organize their military forces to defeat ISIS. That was commentary.
I'm Nugo Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to Today in History. We start from the Jakarta anniversary on June 22nd. Jakarta City was initially called Sunda Kelapa, then changed into Batavia. The commander of the Demak Sultanate named Batavia, then changed again into Jayakarta and finally became Jakarta. The determination of Jakarta anniversary was based on the determination issued by Jakarta Mayor of 1953 to 1958 period, Sudiro. He was aware of the need of anniversary for the capital city, Jakarta. Therefore, he called a number of historians such as Mr. Muhammad Yamin and Mr. Dr. Sukanto, as well as senior journalist Sudarjo Cokro Siswoyo, to observe when was Jakarta established. Dr. Sukanto handed the script entitled From Jayakarta to Jakarta. According to Dr. Sukanto, June 22, 1527 was closest day with the time that Jayakarta was firstly established by Fatahillah. The script was then handed by Sudiro to the temporary city legislative assembly to be discussed. Through the session, the assembly then decided that June 22, 1527, as the day of Jakarta anniversary. On June 22, 1941, Nazi launched Barbarossa Operation. The Operation of Barbarossa was the codename for Nazi Germany's World War II invasion of the Soviet Union, which began on 22 June 1941. The operation was driven by Adolf Hitler's ideological desire to conquer Soviet territory, as outlined in his 1925 manifesto Mein Kampf. In the 2 years leading up to the invasion, the two countries signed political and economic pacts for strategic purposes. Nevertheless, on 18 December 1940, Hitler authorized an invasion of the Soviet Union with a planned start date of 15 May 1941. The actual invasion began on 22 June 1941. Over the course of the operation, about 4 million soldiers of the Axis powers invaded the Soviet Union along a 2,900-kilometer front, the largest invasion force in the history of warfare. In addition to troops, the Germans employed some 600,000 motor vehicles and between 600,000 and 700,000 horses. It marked the beginning of the rapid escalation of the war, both geographically and in the formation of the Allied coalition. The last event on June 22, 1981, Bani Sadr was ousted as president of Iran. On June 22, 1981, the figure of Iranian Revolution and the great leader of Iran, Imam Khomeini, received an impeachment from parliament essaying about incompetence of Bani Sadr during his service as president. The parliament also urged Imam Khomeini to fire Bani Sadr. Bani Sadr was the first president of Islamic Republic of Iran, who was elected directly by Iranian people through general election. However, he was proven to conduct many contrary acts against the values of the Islamic Revolution, and even cooperated with outsiders to topple the Islamic government system in Iran. The parliament then, with major voices, held impeachment against Bani Sadr. After he was ousted, Bani Sadr then fled to France and continued his effort to subvert the Islamic Republic of Iran from abroad. On June listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Voice Green. Today we'll take you to discuss about the European Union helps Indonesia to save Sumatran elephants. Delegation of European Union to Indonesia last Sunday, June 19th, launched a short documentary film about the forest and Indonesian elephant, as well as highlighting the importance of forest protection and elephants. The film entitled Save Our Forest Giants. The launching event of the film was opened by the Director General of Natural Resources Conservation and Ecosystem, Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Tahrir Fatoni, followed by talk show along with panelists. The panelists of the talk show including European Union Ambassador Feng Song Gorang, producer and actor in the film Nicola Saputra and Wahdi Azmi from Tangkahan Conservation Response Unit, Aceh Province. The event was attended by more than 100 adolescents and other stakeholders. Over the past 20 years, the European Union has supported the Indonesian government to protect the forest areas in Aceh and North Sumatra through a number of projects worth a total of over 50 million euros. One of the European Union's environment efforts is the Lowser Development Program. The program was implemented in 1995 to 2004 to support long-term conservation of ecosystems and succeeded in forming an independent management body, the Lowser International Foundation. The activity that successfully survived is the Aras Napal Elephant Patrol Unit that coaching South Sumatran elephants to protect the Lowser ecosystem. In June 2015, the European Union adopted an elephant child named Aras as European Union mascot. The adoption symbolizes European Union commitment toward continuity of life. Aras elephant mother, named Tanti, was raised by European Union on the previous project. The adoption of Aras is expected can invite people's interest toward the importance of forest protection and effort to combat climate change. Furthermore, in October 2015, the European Union delegation to adopt a baby elephant named Aras from Tangkahan Conservation Response Unit. The Tangkahan Conservation Response Unit supporting the conservation and community-based ecotourism in the Lowser ecosystem. The elephants and keepers of this location are highlighted in the documentary film entitled Save Our Forest Giants. In a release received by RRI Monday, June 20th, the European Union calls the film Save Our Forest Giants also aimed to raise awareness and encourage research on new herpes virus, EEHV. The virus can cause severe hemorrhagic disease to elephants and cause high mortality in young Asian elephant of 1 to 8 years old. Death can occur within 1 to 2 days from the initial signs, so early diagnosis and treatment is essential for the survival of elephants. European Union evaluated, study and ongoing research is a good solution to manage, prevent and control the spread of the disease in order to ensure the sustainability and conservation of elephants. Further cooperation in enhancing effective treatment and vaccine development to prevent EEHV is very important for the future of elephant species. That was Foy Green. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. In order to strengthen the socio-cultural relations between Indonesia and Japan, the Japanese Embassy in Indonesia organizes since 2003 a visit to Japan. The scholarship program aims at introducing the Japanese culture and socio-cultural exchange with Indonesia. Meanwhile, to strengthen the ties between Indonesia and Japan, the Japanese Embassy to Indonesia will hold back a scholarship program to Japan, especially for boarding schools in Indonesia. This year, the Japanese Embassy to Indonesia plans to invite the leaders of Islamic boarding schools across Indonesia to visit Japan. Minister of Transportation Ignatius Jonan is scheduled to directly monitor the readiness and implementation of homecoming for Idul Fitri holiday of Indonesians in Malaysia. A number of legal entry and exit points of the Indonesian, including the prepared vehicle safety facilities, will be monitored directly by Minister Ignatius Jonan. Indonesian President Joko Widodo released the Indonesian Olympic contingent to the Olympic Games Rio de Janeiro 2016 in Brazil. The release of the Indonesian contingent to Rio de Janeiro to attend the 2016 Olympic Games held at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, Wednesday. President, when he briefed the athletes to give their best lackluster and put the name of Indonesia in the international world. The Indonesian government will do its best to bring down beef prices by importing the commodity and developing pedigree cattle farming at home, President Joko Widodo said. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has stated that the draft revision of the 2016 state budget must be evaluated after the House of Representatives DPR and the government decide their stance on the state budget. The Vice President stated after breaking the fast along with the members of the Central Executive Board of the Indonesian Mosque Council and the Indonesian Red Cross at the Vice Presidential Palace Tuesday. Social Affairs Minister Kofifa Indar Parawansa visited and reviewed the state of the evacuees in Purworejo District, Central Java Province. The Social Affairs Minister visited the locations that had been buried by landslides. The minister also handed over compensation and logistical help to the evacuees. That was news in brief.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit North Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia has many tourism objects, beginning from natural and marine tour until culinary. One of the marine tours in Indonesia is Miangas Island. Miangas Island is the outer island of Indonesia, which is located in the border between Indonesia and the Philippines. This island is located at Miangas Village, Nanusa Sub-District, Kepulauan Talaut Regency, Milongwana, North Sulawesi. Miangas Island is only 3.5 kilometers wide with 1,000 populations. To get this island is not easy. It needs struggle because there is not always a ship to stop or come to this island. If you depart from Milongwana, the distance is around 110 miles. From Manado, it has a distance around 320 miles. To visit a place which needs struggle is challenge for tourists. That's why Miangas Island becomes a special destination target. Besides the beauty and the exotic panorama of this island, its location, which is the northernmost border of Indonesia, becomes one of targets. There is special pride for most tourists to come to this island. Not only that, to take picture on this island which has meaning of historical background is very interesting. Thank you. Although exploring a small island with all the beauty marine on Miangas Island is not enough for only one day. There are many beautiful beaches on Miangas Island. Clear sea as the marine world of Miangas Island can be enjoyed. One of them is at Racuna Beach. From the dock, a lot of fish can be seen clearly. There is also Panci Cape, which is favorite spot for fishing. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Telepon, which in English means telephone, stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Hello. Hello, which means hello. Selamat malam. Selamat malam, which means good evening. Maaf. Maaf, which means sorry. Sedang rapat. Sedang rapat, which means on a meeting. Apa ada pesan? Apa ada pesan, which means are there any messages? Tidak ada. Tidak ada, which means nothing. Akan telepon kembali. Akan telepon kembali, which means I will call back. Anda siapa? Anda siapa, which means who are you? Adik laki-laki. Adik laki-laki, which means little brother. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. Now, listener, we give you an example of conversation entitled telepon, or in English means telephone. The conversation is between A. Richard and B. Danu at the office. A. Richard. Hello. Hello, which means hello. B. Danu. Hello, selamat malam. Hello, selamat malam, which means hello, good evening. A. Richard. Saya Richard, apakah Tuan Alex ada? Saya Richard, apakah Tuan Alex ada? Which means I'm Richard. Can I speak to Mr. Alex? B. Danu. Maaf, Tuan Alex sedang rapat. Apa ada pesan? Maaf, Tuan Alex sedang rapat. Apa ada pesan? Which means, sorry, Mr. Alex is at a meeting. Are there any messages? A. Richard, tidak ada. Saya akan telepon kembali nanti. Maaf, Anda siapa? Tidak ada. Saya akan telepon kembali nanti. Maaf, Anda siapa? Which means, no, I will call him back. Sorry, with whom am I speaking? B. Danu. Saya Danu, adik laki-laki Tuan Alex. Saya Danu, adik laki-laki Tuan Alex, which means I'm Danu, Mr. Alex's little brother. A. Richard. Tuan Danu, terima kasih. Selamat malam. Tuan Danu, terima kasih. Selamat malam. Which means, Mr. Danu, thank you. Good night. P. Danu, selamat malam. Selamat malam, which means, good night. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topics. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce an Indonesian pop singer, Faris RM. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Sakura by Faris RM. Happy listening.
Senada cinta bersemi di antara kita, menyandang anggunnya peran dan jiwa asmara. Terlanjur untuk terhenti di jalan yang telah tertemu semenjak ini. Sehidup semati kian lama kian pasrah ku rasakan jua. Janji yang terucap tak mungkin terhapus saja. Walau rintangan berjuta, walau cobaan memaksa diriku terjerat di peluk asmara.
Listener Faris RM was born from a musician family, and since childhood, he had been introduced to the music world. His musical career began at the age of 12 years, during his friendship with the singer Debbie Nasution and Odin Nasution to form Young Gypsy Band, brought blues and rock music. Furthermore, Faris RM cooperated with ADMS, Aji Sutama, and Iman RN to make an operate on the farewell party and vocal group of their school. The opportunity to the professional music world began to open in 1977. Together with Aji Sutama, Lady Nur, ADMS, and Ikang Fauzi, his schoolmate at SMA 3 Jakarta, Faris took part on Lomba Cita Lagu Remaja, or the youth songwriting competition held by one of the private radio stations in Jakarta. Although he only got the third winner, the offer from various bands began to close on him. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Barcelona. Happy listening. Listener Faris Rustamunov continued his studies at ITB majoring in fine art in 1978. Faris was trying to develop and gain knowledge as well as add to his experience by joining two groups of rock music, Giant Step and the Rollies. Faris replaced in keyboardist position for the Giant Step band for stage performances and replacing the drummer for stage performing of the Rollies. Faris has also accompanied the music group from Bandung led by Hari Rusli, namely Hari Rusli Karisma in 1979. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Panggung Perak and Antara Kita by Faris Rustamunov or Faris RM. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Pasti tercipta kini di relung pesona yang beranjak menyepi. Ku pandang kelam telah berlalu seolah terlintas bagai impian sunyi yang mengawali kisah legenda kehidupannya. Terbiasa terucap kata terlanjur jelita di bayang pesona hanya merenung kalbu berkabung menyesali diri bagai impian sunyi yang mengawali kisah legenda kehidupannya. Apa yang terjadi dibayangkan nanti sirna dan berganti kini. Semua tak terjadi tanpa disadari hanya kurnia terbukti. Tak terbiasa berucap kata terlanjur jelita di bayang pesona hanya merenung kalbu berkabung menyesali diri bagai impian sunyi yang mengawali kisah legenda kehidupannya. Apa yang terjadi dibayangkan nanti sirna dan berganti kini. Semua tak terjadi tanpa disadari hanya kurnia terbukti. La 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 la. La 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 la
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.